At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World. Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, writing of Takings. That is the name of Richard's book that you can find on Amazon, Private Property and the Power of Eminent Domain. That is part of the discussion to do with the recent reporting that the Biden administration, in response to a WHO request, is seeking in some fashion to suspend or give up or let go the patents of medicines such as Moderna. Not all medicines are produced here, so this is a many splintered story. However, I go to a remark that the Chancellor of Germany made when she was told about this, responding to the global crisis. Said Angela Merkel, "The protection of intellectual property is a source of innovation, and it must remain so in the future." Richard, it is not surprising to me, given the adversarial relationship of geopolitics right now, that only two voices have been raised in support of the president's at least nominal decision to explore giving up the patents. One is Vladimir Putin, who said a pandemic is an emergency situation. No doubt Russia would support such an approach. China's foreign ministry from Beijing said it looked forward to having active and constructive discussions with all parties under the WTO framework in order to reach an effective and equitable agreement. Those are not two voices I'd want in support of my position. However, the word innovation turns everything here, Richard. Before this crisis mode of are we going to give it away or not, you emphasized in your Defining Ideas piece how such a move by the White House, by the WHO, would discourage innovation. Please explain.
The way patents work is you have to spend an enormous amount of money in order to create something that's worthwhile. And the truth of the matter is it's like drilling for oil in many cases. Most of your innovative expenses turn out to be dry holes, as it were. So what you have to do is you have to be able to recoup the money that you lose in other ventures and the money that you spent on a successful venture from the future sales. Now, how can you do this? Well, what happens is if you simply have to recover only the cost of the production of the virus and not the R&D at the front end, what will happen is you'll spend several billion dollars of stuff on this drug, and then you'll be able to sell individual doses for $5 or $10, and you'll never recover those front end fixed costs. So what the patent does, it allows you to raise the price above the marginal cost of the production of these new units. And then each time you get, instead of $5, you get $50, and that $45 goes to retire the debt. The reasons why the Russians on the one hand and the Chinese kind of like it is if they were able to do this thing, they could sell this stuff for $7 or $8 or $10 because they don't have to front end the fixed cost, which means that the United States companies would get absolutely nothing. The same thing with the German and British companies and everybody else. So the exclusivity is a way of basically making sure that you have the opportunity to gain a return. Now, some people say it's really wise to condemn these patents and then to have these things sold at zero marginal cost. Almost invariably, it's a bad idea because trying to figure out how you run a condemnation of a piece of intellectual property whose worth is uncertain over the future is very, very difficult. So the optimal strategy in all cases is to buy the finished product and then to sell it at whatever price you do, having purchased it at a market price. What the Russians and the Chinese are doing is they're standing there licking their chops. Of course, an equitable agreement will mean, oh, they'll have to pay you one-tenth the value of your research in order to steal the rest of this stuff. These are just crocodile tears, and they just can't wait for the possibility of getting it. You have to remember, by the way, that some of these patents, I'm sure, are not simply vaccine-specific for COVID. There are vast new technologies that are being developed, which have applications with respect to other diseases. You start giving out the intellectual property. It gives these other countries a head start on things that are unrelated to the COVID crisis, in which they will then have a huge competitive advantage. We don't know exactly what the patent portfolio portfolios are in these particular cases. So it's all just a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad idea, even in Australia, to quote the famous Child's book about this subject. And the United States will stand alone, and they will have to fight everybody inside the country. The only people, I'm sorry to say, who seem to support this proposal are a large number of academics who think that the humanitarian card trumps everything else. The humanitarian card can be respected in full simply by tying how much of a subsidy you want to give to buyers of these drugs, whether they be American or overseas. So the whole situation under these circumstances is about to degenerate. And I think it's really a very, very sad situation. My guess is the Biden administration will start to pull back because they're going to be with such ferocious opposition. And what they will probably try to do is to limit the kinds and the nature of the waivers that they will give. Once you give only limited waivers, they're not going to be able to build the full product anyhow. They probably don't have the know-how to do this, even if you gave them the patents. All complicated biologics, by the way, depend upon a very complicated suite of intellectual properties. Trade secrets, which are part of this business, know-how, as it's sometimes called, are also exclusive rights that you can give out and share by way of licenses, but they are not owned by the federal government and they're not subject to a registry. But it's already been held for a very long time. But if you require a private company to give up its exclusive trade secrets to somebody else, the same analysis applies to that as it applies to the patent. So if they want to go into the know-how side of this particular business, they're going to run into the same set of legal objections that I've meant before.
Professor Richard Epstein, Senior Fellow of the Hoover Institution, writing before and now speaking during the question of patents to be given away by the direction of the United States of America, This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.